Hi, Erin.
Hello, happy gray afternoon in Seattle.
Yes, very, very typical gray November, right?
Absolutely. Marie Mills is the founder and owner of Clear Solutions. She captures your standard operating procedures in plain language for everyone on your team so your business can run exactly how you want with, and this is the really, really good part, or without you. And get this, Marie has done, she's created over 1,000 pages of business documents. And you know how they say it takes 10,000 hours to be an expert in anything? Well, Marie is definitely an expert. 1,000 pieces of business documentation. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Good thing I enjoy it.
Which is wonderful because it's your zone of genius. And the important thing is that if it's not your zone of genius, delegate, delegate, delegate. Systems is hard for me, tech's hard for me, which is why I know wonderful people like you. Because for small business owners, they're so busy wearing many, many hats. Bringing in someone else to help them with our systems is such a great investment. So I wanted to ask you one question I asked you that a lot of other people ask you is, what do you mean by documents and documentation?
Yeah, so documentation, when I'm talking about documentation and standard operating procedures, is basically the work that is done by a business to run the business and to deliver whatever service or product that business delivers. And like, what does it take? And how do you do the work? And it's written down, so it's documented. It's not just in somebody's head, which is where a lot of businesses run into trouble, because they come into work, people come into work and they do their job and they do it really well, right? They're very smart people and they do it really well, but they do it out of their head, meaning if they were to not show up one day, or if they had to leave the company on short notice, all that knowledge goes with them. And they may have been trained at one point, but over time they have amassed more and more knowledge and understanding of the job, but it's not written down anywhere. So I come in and I help them document it. So the documentation is simply the work written down. It's documented, right? So an example would be if you had a client and you had a client onboarding process, then you want that process written out step by step, what happens. Or if you have an employee and they leave the company, you know, you need an employee offboarding process, that type of thing. Even your mission, vision, and values as a company is a piece of documentation, even though it's not really a process, it's not a procedure, but it's an important piece of documentation. It's important information that you want everyone on your team to be consistent with and to understand.
And your mission, the mission and the vision all comes into onboarding. You need to let your new employees know what you are all about.
Exactly, exactly. And so, a lot of businesses do this through what I call like an oral history, right? They tell you, and it, you know, that's good to talk to each other, but then it's very easy to forget the details if all you do is hear it and you don't have it, something written down that you can go and refresh your memory on later.
Well, and also refer to, if you need to communicate it to stakeholders, to clients, to people outside your business, having it easily able to reference means that you're not miscommunicating it or you're not misinterpreting it. So having it clearly set out, as Marie says, everything starts with clarity. Efficiency starts with clarity. And I'm all about clarity. There's actually a word for it, isn't it? When an employee leaves, I know you can debrief an employee, but if that employee leaves suddenly, or maybe they're taken ill, or maybe they're not that willing to be helpful about it, or they have to leave in a hurry, you lose some, what do you call that? Equity? Intellectual equity?
You could call institutional knowledge. Sometimes it's called that. It's knowledge about the company. Yeah. And people, like, you know, you don't have to have a company. It's like, oh, my employees love me. They're never going to leave. And they don't want to leave. But sometimes things happen in life. And sometimes your parents get ill and you have to leave or move out of the area to go take care of them. Or, you know, things just happen. Right. So, right. That that bank of knowledge in each of your employees' head, you're at risk of losing it if you don't have it written down.
It's also incredibly valuable for training. If you've got all these systems, SOP is the very cool acronym. If you have all these system operating procedures, if you have these are invaluable for training. Because new staff can watch them, especially if you film yourself doing a task, film yourself actually teaching something, that becomes a library that's invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You wrote a great blog, 5 signs you are running your business from your head. Can you give us an example of a sign that you are basically running your business out of your brain and not in the real world?
Well, yeah, running your, it's kind of what I say is like, are you running your business out of your head? And that just means that you're running it from memory and you're not, it's not written down anywhere, right? So one of the signs would be that your work as a boss or maybe a department head, your work is being interrupted because people have to keep coming to you with questions because they don't have any documentation to refer to. And it could be, a question about how to do their work. It could also be something really simple like the printer ink ran out. Where do I get the new printer ink? And, oh, by the way, we're out of printer ink. How do we order new printer ink? So it's everything from the, the interruptions can be caused by anything from a fairly complicated process to just something really practical and everyday. So if you're being interrupted, you're probably running the business out of your head.
You lose so much time. You know, when you're switching tasks, you lose productivity. You're working in your business instead of on your business. And it's the first step in delegation to have everything written down. Before you were doing this, you've had a couple of different businesses. One of them was you owned a small food-based business. When I first read that, I thought you meant small food, and I'm thinking, is she talking appetizers? Is she talking vol-au-vents? Is she talking tiny bits of sushi? What actually was that?
Oh, so I many years ago, I actually cooked professionally for a bit of time, and I ended up having my own catering business with a business partner, and we would cater weddings and parties and other events. And so that's what we did. And I loved it. I absolutely love food service. I love cooking. I love food. It's a tremendous amount of work, but it was fun to run as a business.
You have to have incredible skills for time management and systems if you're running a catering business. I know you're a foodie. What are some of the things that you love to cook?
I love to cook pretty much anything. I love trying new recipes. I found a Korean cooking site on YouTube, and I've been cooking a lot of Korean food, which is not something I'm familiar with. So I'm learning a lot about Korean spices and ingredients and how to pull them all together. And I just love it. I also love like Ethiopian food. I love making that, but that takes quite a bit of time. And I love just sitting down, with a good basic dish that doesn't take a lot of work, but just is good, wholesome food.
Let me know when you start to deliver.
I'll definitely let you know.
Especially since you're better than DoorDash because you do such a wide variety of cuisines.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I also know that you are a cat wrangler when it comes to wrangling systems and processes. And I've had Marie help me with documentation. We've worked together on a project, and she really is the yin to my yang. I'm a shiny kind of person, and Marie gently would ground me and bring me back and give me some structure. But you are a cat wrangler, and I count myself as a cat. But you also have a passion for literal cats, actual cats, reducing the feral cat population. Would you tell me about that?
Yes, I've always loved cats because I grew up with cats, so I was more familiar with them than dogs. And I always say I'm more cat than dog, and the dogs out there know that, so they know how to intimidate me. But I used to work with a nonprofit in Seattle, and we would go out, our group would go out and trap feral cats. So people don't always know, but there's feral cats living throughout all the city environment and the different environments in bushes and things. And cats are very territorial. So it doesn't really work just to pick up a cat and like put it somewhere else, right? So you want to like manage that colony wherever it is and work with the neighbors. And so these cats, what they do is they're not altered. obviously, because they're feral, they're not pets, and they reproduce like crazy. So our group would go in and we'd capture the cats and we would have them altered. And if they were sick or wounded or whatever, we'd fix that up and then we'd take them back. And we'd always be working with the neighbors. We're not just dropping, dropping off a bunch of cats and perpetuating a problem. But the number one thing was to take them and, make sure they can't reproduce. And as part of this, you'd get these feral cats and they'd be semi-feral. And some of them you'd say, you know what, I think this could be a pet. And so then me and my partner at the time and this group, we would socialize cats. It's quite a process to take a cat that doesn't want to have anything to do with you and socialize it and make it a great pet. And we did that just many, many times. I loved it. And I don't work with that particular group anymore, but I've worked with the shelter up in Everett, the animal services up there, and same thing, helping them, make their shelter cats more social, especially the shy ones that are harder to adopt. And it's very rewarding. I love cats so much. Very fun to work
It's odd coming from someone who's such a water person, but I can understand how rewarding that must have been. Feral cats are an issue in New Zealand because a
with.
lot of native wildlife, a lot of our birds are ground birds. They live on the ground. So it has decimated a lot of our bird population. And I work for animal welfare in Waitakere in New Zealand, and I'm passionate about de-sexing and neutering animals. If I had my way, it would be free for every single animal and possibly even mandatory. Thank you for what you do. And your skills in socializing cranky cats must be very useful in socializing cranky creatives who really don't want to be tied down and have things actually written down on paper. But great, so they can actually go on a holiday if you want to. If you are a creative, being able to disappear and write your book for a few days, knowing your business is still going to tick along without you, you'd need to contact Marie. Speaking of water, you and I both adore water, and you are an avid kayaker. Even on Marie's website, which is Clear Solutions by Marie, if you go to her about page, there is a beautiful photo of kayaks. When did the love of kayaking kick in?
Well, I've always loved the outdoors, and I used to just spend all my time scrambling around the mountains. And in about, I would say, about maybe 25 years ago, I started getting more into kayaking, and since then it's just taken off. And I do love sea kayaking. This is sea kayaking, not river kayaking. So the boats are a little bit longer, and we're out paddling in, the open water as opposed to a river that you have a lot of current and rocks that you're trying to avoid. I love being out in the wilderness. It's just a wonderful sport, and you can tuck up against the shoreline in a way that you can't if you're a bigger boat, or you can't access if you're on the land. So it's definitely one of my passions.
And I see a parallel because Marie is all about contingency in your business, having a contingency plan in case of things like COVID or illness. But you also are very aware of contingency when it comes to wilderness adventure. Didn't you recently go on a kayak incident management course?
I did, right? And so, right, there's a lot to know about kayaking to do it safely. And the more you know, the more places you can go and be safe. And one thing that is really good to do is to think ahead, what are some of the things that can go wrong and how can we avoid them, first of all? And if we can't avoid them, how can we manage them if we have to deal with it? Yeah, it's very similar to businesses, right? Because you're just going along and everything, when it's working well, it's not a problem. But if something goes wrong, it's good to think it through and have a plan in place so that business interruptions are minimized. And so contingencies on the water, contingencies in your business, yep, it's all the same thing.
And I saw you mention swimmer rescue being a really useful tool in your toolkit. What's swimmer rescue?
Swimmer rescue. Okay, so when you kayak, you're in the boat, right? That's how it's supposed to be. You're in the boat, not outside of the boat. But sometimes, if the water is really rough or something happens, you can tip over and you get out of the boat. So now you might even get separated from your boat. It depends on the conditions. Hopefully, you're with other people. I always paddle with other people, and you might need to get get to safety pretty quickly. So what you can do is you can hop on the back of somebody else's kayak and have them paddle you to shore. It takes a little bit of practice, or then you'll both be in the water, but it's a great skill to have.
Speaking of, before I get on to tools, other tools that you have in your toolkit, especially your business toolkit, do you have any hiking gear that you recommend, clothing that you recommend to take when kayaking or when you're hiking in the wilderness?
Well, I think, you know, that would be kind of a lengthy answer. It's kind of like, how much time do you have? But I would say my biggest recommendation there is to just really be aware of your limits and what the environment is dishing out to you on that particular day. So, you know, it's very different if you're sunny and warm and the days are long. You're not going to have to take as much gear and clothing. But this time of year, a lot of people can get caught off guard. You know, it's that transition from fall into really cold, wet weather. And the days are shockingly short, right? It kind of sneaks up on us that all of a sudden it's getting dark at like 6 o'clock at night. So really thinking through, what do I need if I got caught out or I twisted an ankle, I couldn't walk out? You know, how much clothes do I need? A headlamp and extra batteries is always a good idea. You know, cell phone service isn't everywhere. So leaving your plan with somebody so that if you don't show up by a particular time, they'll know to send somebody to look for you. But, you know, that again, it comes back to kind of contingency planning, thinking about, gosh, what are the things that could go wrong in the environment I'm going to be out in today?
Do you have any clothing brands you recommend? Do you have any particular outdoor stores that you can get your hiking?
You know, Patagonia, it's hard to go wrong with Patagonia. Mountain Hardware has some great, great clothes. Gosh, there's so many good ones out there. They can be kind of pricey. Columbia is often a little bit more affordable. I like to go for, you know, I see my clothing as an investment. So if I get a raincoat, I want a really heavy duty raincoat with really waterproof zippers. It's going to last me a long time. And I might drop a few $100 into it. And then it's going to last me a lot of years. So going with also the materials like the wool is really great. It's not itchy like it used to be, and synthetic for sure, as opposed to cotton, to keep you warmer even if it gets wet.
I absolutely believe in cost per wear. Buy yourself decent gear that you can use time and time again. That's definitely a great use of your resources. Mm-hmm. Do you have any systems for your work clothes? Do you have any contingency plans around what you wear to work?
My work clothes. So now, are you talking about actually going to work? Because my work is remote.
Work in November 2021. So yeah. As workers right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most important thing is to be comfortable, like to look. I know we can get really casual with the pandemic and it's like, oh, I'm not going out of the house and nobody's going to see me. But I think it's really important to wear something where if you're passing by the mirror, you look over and you're like, yeah, I like that. And not just like look like you're wearing your pajamas every single day, although that can be tempting. But then just to wear clothes that's just, you know, comfortable, moves with you, so you don't feel constricted and restricted, and then it restricts your thinking and everything.
And also comfortable in case of an emergency. Yeah. And always have extra clothing on hand just in case.
You bet.
Circling back to tools, what are some of your favorite business tools?
So that's a great question. I like tools. My approach is kind of like, if you don't need it, don't just have it because it's kind of fun to have around. Like, keep the tools to a minimum, kind of like my approach to clothing, right? Get the ones that work for you, invest in the ones that work for you, and you don't need a whole lot. Just use the ones that work for you. A lot of my documentation, I use Microsoft Word or I use Google Doc. They're just very simple tools. So don't need a real fancy software program for that. But I love other tools. I love my calendar program. I use Calendly. I use Mac products, Apple products. So I love my Mac calendar. Just the really basic tools that help me manage my time and my client work.
I love Trello. So, Trello's great if you're visual.
Yes.
Cards around. I keep everything. Trello for me is a bit like a vision board. I keep all my projects, all my bits and pieces on Trello. But yeah, thank goodness for Microsoft Word, Google, good basic tools to basically manage your life.
Very much so. And I really use my calendar program for managing my time. Like I record, not only do I plan ahead what I need to do throughout each day, but as I go through the day and I use up my time, I actually put it on my calendar. And so many times that has been useful when, I talked to so-and-so or I did this thing or, you know, and I can go back and I can search for it on my calendar and find out exactly the day that I did that particular thing. And it also, talk about visual, it gives me a very quick visual idea of like, how much work am I doing? How am I spending my time? And it keeps me on track.
I live by my Google Calendar. I look at it every day as my schedule and I set alarms around the appointments.
Yes.
And yeah, having a calendar system like Calendly or Acuity is brilliant because if somebody says, hey, let's have a coffee, it's like, great, send me a link to your calendar or I'll get a link to my calendar because that way I don't lose the information. And it is exactly where, and I know exactly what's going on. So yay for calendar links.
Yes, absolutely. It makes everyone's life so much easier.
It really does. Speaking of visual and of turning an idea into a document, can you tell me about your photography business or photography interest?
Yes, that is way back when I came back with my catering. But so back in the day before we had all these digital cameras, you know, and then you actually had film and you actually took the film in and you got it developed, right? I used to take all kinds of pictures when I was out in the mountains and outside, outdoors, enjoying the outdoors. And I just loved it. I think sometimes I was probably schlepping around too much camera gear, right? It probably, you know, maybe spending too much time on the camera gear and less on just enjoying the environment. But I just loved, you know, looking around, framing, thinking what would be a really great photograph here. And I've had the opportunity to travel to some pretty cool places. And one of the places I went to was Ellesmere Island. And if you don't know where that is, you think it goes all the way up close to the North Pole. And Ellesmere Island is one of those islands that's right up there above 80 degrees latitude. And I had the opportunity to go there with friends and we got to see all kinds of cool things. And I got up one morning and I looked over and there's a friend and he's all lathered up to go shaving. So in the background, there's like icebergs floating in the water and he's sitting there with a mirror shaving. And I took a picture and it was just this wonderful picture. And I was selling my photographs freelance at that point. And I submitted it to Patagonia and it actually got published in their German magazine, Patagonia magazine. I was very happy with that.
Congratulations, you published Photographer You. And didn't you spend some time in summer in Alaska, or was that the year before last?
Yeah, so I've hiked in Alaska and just gone up there, you know, to have fun. And I've also kayaked in Southeast Alaska. So I've done two big kayak trips. And last time I was there, we were paddling for 3 weeks. So you basically get your boat loaded up and you launch and you're gone for 3 weeks. It's a little bit like car camping. You just find a place to camp and then you camp for the night and then you load the boats up and then you go to the next place. So Southeast Alaska is a wonderful place to kayak.
Oh, it sounds magnificent. Marie offers off top. I know we're circling a little bit away, but I wanted to make sure I mention this. Marie offers free discovery calls because every business is unique, especially small business. And I know you work with businesses in many ways. You can help them do the work. You can help them do the work with their team. I think you can also help. You can do the work for them, but you tailor it depending on the need of the small business. And I know you've got a great range of templates, so small businesses don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yes.
Where did your passion for small business come from?
You know, before I started my business, I was working as a business analyst and I would go around and I did a lot of contracting work. So I would work for various companies and they'd have some kind of project and they needed to understand how the business worked. So even though it's a larger business, I would be working with groups within the business. And it was almost like working with a smaller business, right? And I would work with maybe the call center or customer service people or some group and trying to really understand what they did. So I could help IT figure out how to make their lives easier. And then I worked for a couple of small businesses and I thought, oh, this is similar to what I was doing for as a business analyst. And the kind of the thing I kept seeing is people need this stuff written down. Like they do the work all day, but nobody, it's not written down, it's not organized. And the understanding of the work, the people who understand how the work is supposed to happen, is really tied to specific employees. And if that employee leaves, you know, then it's really going to adversely impact that business. And the smaller businesses, I just love the entrepreneurial spirit and working directly with the business owner has just been wonderful. But I also do work with larger businesses when I work with departments within larger businesses. But I just have a real passion for small businesses. And being a small business owner, you know, I can relate to that. And I know it can be a lot of work. So I want to help them work easier.
Speaking of owners, one of your blogs, you said, everybody needs an owner's manual. Is that a manual about the owner?
That's great. That is a great interpretation. I didn't think of it that way. But an owner's manual is another way of trying to give people a picture of what it means to document your standard operating procedures. You know, you think about your car, you have a car, your car has all these systems, right? It has, various interior, exterior, the lighting systems, the heating system. And you're like, well, how does this thing work? And what do you do if you don't know is you pull out the owner's manual and you can look and see how that works. So it's like your car has an owner's manual. Your business needs an owner's manual, right? It's that same concept of a place where you can go to figure out how the individual systems work when you have a question.
I think I still need a manual to me, though.
Well, we can work on that.
I think it would help my employees understand me. A lot of people are having trouble with supply chain right now. Why is it important to document what actually goes on with your supply chain?
Right. And such a big issue. And when you say that, immediately makes me think of one of the clients I had was actually a catering business. And this is kind of like a mini example of supply chain. But, you know, the chef just did an excellent job of procuring the goods and the food that they needed to put on the catering events, but he was the only one who knew it, right? He was the only one who knew we buy bread from this company and we buy, you know, tomatoes from that company and we buy this from that other company. And if they don't have it, then we go to this other company. And so, you know, knowing where to go and what your backup is when the goods aren't available as they usually are is so key. It's so important. If you run, you know, short on something and that particular person who knows the information is out sick that day, you're going to have a really big problem. So documenting like what goods do you need to run your business and where do you get them and how do you order them? All the details about when do you place the order? What's the minimum order to get, you know, good, what do you call it? The price break, right? The price break. And how do you do a return? What happens when the things that you order don't come in as they should? All of those things are so important to businesses that have to order out for goods that they use in the course of doing their business.
It reminds me a bit of software. If this happens, do this. If this happens, do this. Yes. Every household needs an operating system. So Marie, if you ever want a side business, as you were talking, I was thinking, I know exactly where the coffee comes from. I know where the dog biscuits, where to get the dog biscuits. I know what day this and this is going to be delivered. I know which day this is going to be delivered. I know exactly what kind of groceries are needed for X, Y, and Z. I know how to get hold of the dog walker. There's so much household information I have besides my business information. I could really do with a household systems operating procedure, especially since I just had feet surgery and I've had to explain a lot to my beloved, who has, you know, who's obviously stepped up to the plate. But I had to share what was in my head. So I might have to make an SOP for the house and maybe an SOP for the dog.
It's a great idea. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, if you have a pet and the pet is going to go someplace, if they, you know, they get sick or injured or something, it's like, where do they go? Because it's not something you want to sit around figuring out. Oh, you know, Erin always took care of that and she's not around. I can't talk to her. Where's the number for the vet, right? What do I do?
Yeah, we have a manual for when we go away, we get a dog sitter to stay in the house. That works best for us. And we have a manual, a guide to the house, a guide to Jill, because she, my dog needs a concierge service.
Perfect. You are ahead of the game. That sounds like a great idea.
Oh, there's even instructions on how to use the TV remote, but I will give my beloved the credit for that one. I'm just the one that buys the thank you dog walker cards. Why is it important to have systems when pandemics happen?
Yes, why is that important? I mean, it's
that's a no-brainer, really.
right. I mean, it's like the pandemic, right? Can we even remember what the world was like before it? But just the, my gosh, you know, not being able to get together and work like we normally do. So a lot of systems changed, right? So that there was a lot of change, and it was good to write that down and really be clear. It's like, okay, we used to do things this way. Now we're going to do it this other way, and being really clear on the rules and regulations so everybody can be safe. But then also, again, you know, it just really affected how, you know, how just the employee structure, right? And who knew what, and all that information is now kind of like all over the place, because if it's not written down centrally, and you're trying to manage this pandemic with a partial workforce, you know, there may be a lot of things slipping through the cracks.
That is so true. We all had to pivot, and we had to suddenly change our procedures to accommodate that. You have a wonderful blog where you suggest to clients that they focus on your joy. Is this a little bit to what I was alluding to earlier, whereas delegating my system documentation to you frees me up to work on things that make me happy?
Yes, right, because for a lot of business owners, writing your documentation yourself can feel very draining. It's not your joy. You didn't open a business so you could write a bunch of documentation, right? That's not your passion. That's my passion, but that's not the passion for most people. And so when I work with clients, what I'm trying to do is get them to do a brain dump and get all that good information out of their head. And then I can organize it and show it to them and say, is this what you mean? And then we just go back and forth and make it, you know, finish up the document, make it really clear. And meanwhile, all you have to do is tell me what's in your head, and then you can go back to those pieces of your business that you love to do, and lets you focus on your joy while I do the work that makes you less joyful.
Oh, Marie, that is complete and utter bliss. Now, if you can just add delivering meals to that.
Boy.
I want a full service.
I'm seeing the hint there. You better get on that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want a full service here, please. You can contact Marie at clearsolutionsbymarie.com. Marie's one of my favorite names. It's my sister's middle name, and we actually named her after Marie Osmond. So clearsolutionsbymarie.com. And she offers a free discovery call, because you could be in better shape than you think you are, but she will help you work out exactly what you need so that you can know that everything is safely recorded, so you can go off kayaking with Marie in Alaska. Thank you for being on the podcast today, Marie. We finally made it happen.
No, thank you so much. It was very fun.
It was a lot of fun. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.